Okay, we're holding on. Psachim Daf Samachet. We're at the very bottom of Samachet Amud Bet. Meitavei, we're going to challenge the last point we just made about the connection of a Sheretz and of a Valkeri being in their ability to contract Tumah Be'ones. Boil Nida Ketamemet. That someone who sleeps with a Nida is similar to a Tamemet. Lemai, in what regard? Ilem L'tumatam. If you want to say that it's in their level of tuma. Hi, too much Shiva, Ktibe. Hi, too much Shiva, Ktibe. It's written too much Shiva that they're tame for 7 days explicitly by both of them, so we really don't need a hekesh or juxtaposition to teach me that they're at the same level of tuma. The Torah tells you the same level of tuma. Elav l'machanotam. Rather, to teach you about their machanot. Umi de seifa l'machanotam, have reisha nami l'machanotam. And because the Seifa of the Mishnah is talking about comparing them for the sake of their Machanot, then also the Reish of the Mishnah, which was about Balkeri and Sheretz, should also presumably be comparing them for the sake of their Machanot, right? So that's just another indication that Sheretz and Balkeri are compared in their machanot, that they have the same amount of machan as they're sent out of, and rather not their tuma. Mide iria, hakadita b'hakadita. Is that really a good proof that's what's mashma from this? Why can't you just say the one Mishnah is talking about comparing the two levels of tuma for their machaneh, and one Mishnah is talking about comparing the two of them because of their tuma? Meitive, another challenge. Mitzora chamer mizav. Right? So mitzora is more machmer than zav tuma. Zav chamer tamemet. Zav tuma is more machmer than tamemet. Yatze balkeri shetamemet chamer mimenu. And with the exception of a balkeri, because tamemet is more machmer than a balkeri, who is a type of zav. My yatza. What do you mean to exclude? Lav yatza miklal zav. Right. Meaning exclude it from its general category of zav, which we would normally consider it, because in this particular instance, Tumat Meit is more Machmir than it, even though it isn't than other Zavim. Uva l'chlal Tamemet. And then, you know, enter it into the category of Tamemet. Da Tamemet Chamer Menu, right? And because Tamemet is more Machmir than it, Mutar Machana Levia, right? And yet, the Tamemet is Mutar in the Machana Levia. So if a Tamei Meit can be in a Machane Levia, presumably a Balkeri should also be allowed to be in a Machane Levia, and they aren't kicked out of two camps. Lo, yatza Machane Tamei Meit, v'nichnas l'machane Zav, v'af al gav l'tamei Meit chamur mimenu, mutar b'machane Levia, l'mai l'damile midaminanle. No, what we're saying here is, we're not being yotze miklal zav and nichnas l'tameh meit. We're being yotze miklal tumat meit and nichnas l'klal zav. And the reason we have to do that is to say, even though you may assume that it's more similar to a tameh meit because of its level of tuma, and therefore it should be the same in regard to its machaneh, the machaneh they're allowed to be in, take it out of the category of tumat meit for that reason. Put it into the category of Tumat Zav, even though it's significantly more Machmir Tuma, because for the sake of the Machane, we'd rather compare it to something that it's similar to, in the sense that it's Tuma from an emission, as opposed to contact with a dead body. So we're taking it out of the category of Tumat Mate, which is more similar to it Tame-wise, and putting it into the category of Tumat Zav. That's what we meant to say. In which case, Balkeri cannot go into the Machane Labia. Tanai, Tana, Kame, Derav Yitzchak, Barav Dimi. Someone came in to teach Braitas in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. V'yatza el michutz l'machane, zo machane shechina. Right? When the Pasuk said by someone who had a seminal emission that they had to go outside of the camp, they're talking about the machane shechina. Talking about the first camp. Lo yavo el tocha machane, zo machane levia. And then when it said about them, they cannot come into the machane, that is talking about the machane levia. The Levite camp, they can't come into. Mikan leValkeri sheyatze chutz l'shnei machanot. So clearly, Valkeri needs to be outside the two machanot, right? The first part of the pasuk told you that they can't go into that they're sent out of the machane shechina, and then the second is that they can't go into the machane levia. Amar le akati lo ayalte apikte. So what do you mean? I don't like your reading of that pasuk, right? Because What you're saying is they cannot go into the Machane Levi'a. But they were never yet kicked out of the Machane Levi'a. So how are you forbidding them from coming into something they were never even kicked out of? If they're kicked out of the Machane Levi'a, then you say you can't go back into the Machane Levi'a, fine. But to say, go out of the Machane Kahuna, go out of the Machane Shechina, and don't come into the Machane Levi'a. I'm in the Machane, meaning, kick me out before you tell me not to come back in. So that's why the language is a little bit odd. Lishnachrina, alternatively, it could be like this. Akati lo apakte ayalte, alternatively, you haven't even taken him out yet. You're talking about whether he can come back in. Same point, essentially. Ela, Ema, rather say like this. Michutz lamachane zo machane levia. Right? Rather, when we say they were sending him outside the machane, that's talking about the Levite camp. Lo yivol mit el tocha machane zo machane shechina. That is the machane shechina. Matki flaravina, ema yidavidi the machane shechina. Maybe just both verses, both of those terms are talking about the machane shechina. V'lavor alav ase v'lotase. And the point is that we would like this, that him not being able to go into this camp as to be a violation of both an ase and a lotase. You're kicked out and you're not allowed to come back in. So you have to leave and you can't come back in. You're violating an ase and a lotase. The Torah does that a lot. Right? Im kein lemakra v'yatz el chutz. Lemachane lo yavo el toch hamachane lo yavo el toch hamachane lamali. Right, if that were the case, that it's talking about the same machane and it wants to give you an ase and a lotase, you know what it should have said? It should have said leave the camp and don't come back in. Right, then it's a ase and a lotase. Why do you need to say leave the camp and don't come back in the camp? Sounds like we're talking about two camps here. Shma mina liten lo machane echer. It's talking about a different camp. Michoi Krovav, back to the Mishnah. So we said there's this thing called Michoi Krovav, doing something to its intestines. My Michoi Krovav, what is that? Rav Huna Amar Shemin Nakvin Misakin. You have to pierce them with a knife. Chia Barav Amar Shirka de Me'aya de Nafka Agav Duchka de Sakina. So it refers to this disgusting slime that's in the innards of the animal, and it comes out with a knife when you pierce it. Amar Rabbi Elazar, my time with the Chiyavah Rav. Where does Chiyavah Rav get his shita from? Dichti the charavot mecham gerim yochelu. It's written that the destroyed homes of the mechim, the passersby will consume. My mashma, and you know what's indicated from this verse. Kidimitar game Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef translates, v'nichsehen derishai tzadikin yachsu. Right, that is talking about disgusting ones, meaning wicked people who their belongings, the tzadikim, the righteous people, are going to be able to benefit from. In which case, this mechim, which is referring to wicked people, here refers to something disgusting, and that's how he translates it. V'ra'u kvasim ki davram, and the pasuk continues as follows, that sheep are going to graze ki davram, right, as it was said. Amar Manasseh bar Yimya amar rav ki medubar bam, as it was said about them. My kimedubar bam. What is the significance of that word kimedubar bam? Like, I guess it was foretold that they would do this. What does that mean? Amar Abaye v'charavot mecham gerim yochelu. Right. This is a reference to the later part of the pasuk of the ruined homes of the mechim that the passersby will be able to consume. Meaning that the two psukim are, you know, speaking about each other, that, you know, it was said about the sheep continuing to graze, that they are, you know, that they're going to continue to graze, meaning they're going to be prosperous, they're going to be able to eat everything that they have, everything that they want to eat. And then the next part of the pasuk, it talks about the tzaddikim benefiting from the ruined homes of the rishayim. So that's when it was foretold that they would continue to be prosperous. Amar le Rava Bishlama Iktiv Charavot Kidekamarta Ashrichtiv Ve Charavot Milta Achriti Kamar. Well, you know, that says Rava, that would make sense, you know, that these two psukim, the two parts of the psukim are linked to one another, that, you know, the later part of the pasuk is talking about the earlier part of the pasuk, right, that the sheep will continue to graze as it was said about them, where it was said about them in the later part of the pasuk, right? However, it doesn't say, but it doesn't say charavot, the ruined homes, is vicharavot. It says, and the ruined homes. It makes it sound like this is talking about a different matter, and not what we immediately just said, or not what we just said previously. El amar Rava, keder Rav Chanan el amar Rav, damar Rav Chanan el amar Rav, atidi, tzadikin shichiu etim etim, tibachavara ukvasim kedavram, chtivatem, yiru bashan vegilad kime olam. Right? Rather, we learn it like this. In the future, the righteous people will bring the dead back to life. As it's written, that the sheep will continue to graze as is said about them, and it's written that they'll graze in the Bashan and in the Gilad as they once did. Bashan ze Elisha Bamina Bashan. So Bashan is a reference to Elisha, who comes from the Yashan, who brought the dead back to life. Shneimar v'yanu v'yishpat b'Bashan, because he was v'yani v'shafat b'Bashan. That Yani and Shafat in the Bashan. V'chtipo Elisha ben Shafat asher yatzak ma'im alide Eliyahu. And later it says that Elisha, the son of Shafat, who poured waters in the hands of Eliyahu. That means that Elisha was ben Shafat, who was from the Bashan. So Elisha was from the Bashan. The Bashan is a reference to Elisha, who brought the dead back to life. Gilad Zeliyahu. Gilad is a reference to Eliyahu. Shenemar v'yom Eliyahu. Hadishbi mitosh v'hagilad. So Eliyahu was from Gilad. That's how we see that this pasuk speaking about the Bashan and the Gilad in reference to Eliyahu and Elisha makes them unique because they brought the dead back to life. We're saying that this pasuk talking about the tzaddikim is indicating that the tzaddikim are going to bring the dead back to life like Eliyahu and Elisha. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Atidim Tzadikim Sheyichyu Meitim. How do we know that the tzaddikim are going to be resurrect the dead? Shneimar Od Yesh Vuzkenu Vuzkenu Berechovot Yerushalayim VeIsh Mishanto BiYado Merov Yamim. That old men and women will again sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. Each person with their staff because they're so old. V'chtiv V'samta Mishanti Al Pnei Anar. And furthermore, it's written by Elisha, bring the dead back to life, that I'm going to put my staff on the boy. That's what he did to bring him back to life. And the reference of staff to staff is Gzera Shava to indicate the resurrection of the dead. Ula posed the following contradiction between two psukim. K'tiv bila hamavet lenetzach, v'chtiv ki hana'ar ben mea shana yamut. It says that death will be hidden. But it's also written that the young will die 100 years old. So okay, it's a particularly large, long life if the young will die at 100, but they'll still die, right? So it's not that death will be hidden forever. No, lo kasha kam Yisrael kam ovdei chachamim. In truth, it's not a contradiction. One's a reference to Klal Yisrael, who will live forever. One's a reference to the rest of the world, who will just live extended lives in Yimot Mashiach. What are Ovdei Kochavim doing in Olam Haba? Dichtiv amdu zarim v'ra'u tzonechem v'nei nechar akrechem v'chormeim. Right, it says that non-Jews will be there, but Klal Yisrael will have kind of the primary functions, and the nations of the world will assist Klal Yisrael and watch over their flocks and stuff like that. Rav Chisda Rami Ktiv, so Rav Chisda pose the following contradiction between two verses. Ktiv ve chafra halvana uvosha hachama. Ktiv vaya or halvana ke or hachama ve or hachama yeh shivatayim ke or shivat yamim. So one pasuk says, you know, then Olam Haba, the moon is going to be as strong as the sun. The moon and the sun will both kind of. Neither the moon and the sun will be around in Olam Haba, but furthermore, it's written that the moon that will be like the light of the sun, and the sun will be even brighter than it is right now. It'll be tremendous. Lokashe kan Olam Haba kan Olam Mashiach. Also, not a contradiction. right? It's in Olam Haba that there will be no sun and moon, and only Kadosh Baruch Hu's light will shine. And in Yemot HaMashiach is when the moon will be as bright as the sun, and the sun will be even more bright. L'shmur da'ama u'l'shmuel da'amar ein ben olam hazeh l'mot ha'mashiach ela shibud malchuyot bevad ma'it l'meimar. According to Shmuel, who believes there will be no practical difference between this world as we know it and Yemot HaMashiach, except for the fact that we'll be at peace, right? So how does he reconcile between these two psukim if the only way we could reconcile them is saying that one of them was Olam Haba, one of them was Yemot HaMashiach? Idividi Olam Haba. Both of these things are talking about Olam Haba. And it's still not a contradiction, because one is talking about the Machane Shechina, right, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and that will not need either the sun or the moon because of the brightness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. However, the other one is talking about where the tzaddikim are placed. They will still have the sun and the moon. Rava poses the following contradiction. Tiv ani amid ve'echye v'chtiv machatzti v'ani erape hashda achuye mechaye merape lo kol shegen. Or it's not exactly a contradiction, but he says that I cause death and I bring to life, and furthermore it says I wound and I heal. But since I know that you can bring the dead back to life, all the more so I should know that you can heal wounds. Why was it necessary to teach both? Ela Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ma Sheni Memit Ani Mechaye Kamo Shemechatzti V'Ani Erpe. Rather, what Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying is, the things that I cause to die, I will bring back to life, just like the things that I wound, I heal. So it's an indication for Tchiyat HaMetim. Tan Rabbanan Ani Amit Ve'Echye Yachol Mita Be'Echad V'Chayim Be'Echad Kederech She'Olam Noheg. The rabbis taught from the following braita. I put to death and I bring to life. You may have thought to say that's talking about two different creatures, two different people, as we know the world to operate. Tamadomar machatzti v'ani erepe. So we darshan later from the continuation of the verse. I wound and I heal. Mama kev rufua be'echad af mita v'chaim be'echad. Just like the wound and the healing is talking about the same person, so too, the death and the life is talking about the same person. Nikan chuvelo omrin ein tchiyat hameitim in the Torah. And that's a retort for those who say that that there's no indication that the dead will be resurrected from the Torah. Davar acher, alternatively, betchila ma sheani meimit ani mechaye vehadar ma she machatzti ani erape. Alternatively, you could say like this. Initially, God saying the things that I put to death, I will bring back to life, and only afterward, I'm going to heal all the wounds. Right? So first it'll be back to death, and then all the wounds will be healed. V'ikter chalava, right? Back to the Mishnah. So we burn the fat. Tanya, send a bright out, Rabbi Shimon, bo re'e kama chaviva mitzvah b'shah, sharekter chalavim, ve'varim upedarim, k'sherim kol laila, ve'en mamtinin lahem, ad shtechshach. Come see how precious it is to do a mitzvah in its exact time, because burning up all the extra parts of the korbanot you can do all night, but we do it just until nightfall, because we do it as soon as it possibly can be done. Har kavato vehavato. So we're talking about carrying the offering, or guiding the offering, getting your korban into the Beit HaMikdash. Urminu chotchin yabel b'mikdash avalo medina. But I can suggest a contradiction, right? Or I can, an difference of opinion. You're allowed to cut off a wart on an animal in the Beit HaMikdash. However, not outside the Beit HaMikdash. V'im b'kli kanukan aser. Davka by hand. If you're doing it by a vessel, in both instances, they're going to be aser. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Bar Chanina, Chadavar, Idvi Dibiyat, Havalacha, Habivesha. Right, so... Sorry, just give a little background if you don't remember the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that these things, including cutting off a wart, do not of the korban aren't doche Shabbat. And then Rabbi Eliezer says they are doche Shabbat. And now we're posing the following contradiction, because a different Mishnah taught that you are allowed to cut off a wart in the Beit HaMikdash, just not outside the Beit HaMikdash. Right? However, with a kli, you can't do it either in the Beit HaMikdash or outside the Beit HaMikdash. So Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi, Baruch Hanina have a debate as to how to understand this seeming contradiction as to whether or not you're allowed to cut off a wart. So one of them says, both cases are talking about doing it by hand. Habalacha, habayavesha, right? One, where you're not allowed to do it, is when it's a liquid, a moist wart. However, where you're allowed to remove it is when it's very dry. And the other one would explain this contradiction. Rather, they're both talking about liquid warts, which are moist warts, which would be a problem. Still, it's not a contradiction. Because one's talking about doing it by hand, and one is talking about using a kli, a vessel, to cut off the wart. But according to the one who makes the distinction between hand and vessel, my taima lo amar idviyad. So why did he not say that it's both talking about by hand, just one is yavesh and one is lach? Lokasha ha bilacha ha yavesha. Amar l'chas, he would say, no, I'd rather say one's by hand and one's by kli, than one's dry and one wet. One is wet. Yavesha mifrach pircha. Right? Because a dry one just completely crumbles, so taking it off is not any sort of permission whatsoever. And that's actually allowed even with a kli. And the one who says no, davka, they were both done biyad, velokasha habalacha biyavesha, and says it's not a contradiction because one is talking about removing a moist wart, and one is talking about removing a dry wart. My time lo amar idvidi bilacha. Why didn't he say that we're talking about? Why didn't he say that the case is that there is two moist warts, velokasha habiyad habakli, and it's not a difficulty because one is by hand and one is by. One is through a kli, meaning they're asking why they didn't say like the other shita. Amar lecha kli haktani hatam im b'kli kan v'kan aser, right? Because we already taught by a kli in Erevin that with a kli, both these instances are aser. V'idach, and the other, how do you respond to such a claim that they're both aser with a kli? Hadi ketani b'kli acha plukta d'Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shuan atalish meinan. No, you know. Yeah, it already mentioned, you know, the argument about a kli, but here we're just we're bringing it up to mention that it's actually subject to a machloket, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. So even though it was already taught in Erevin, we bring it up here just to teach you that Rabbi Elazar actually disagrees with this assessment. Amar Rabbi Elazar uma im shchita. So Rabbi Elazar held that if we're allowed to do shchita, which is nesudei raita, that overridden for a korban pesach. Then we can do Isuri de Rabbanon. Rabbi Yeshua Tameh, Rabbi Yeshua follows his own logic. The Amar Simchat Yom Tov Nami Mitzvahi. Because according to Rabbi Yeshua, Simchat Yom Tov is a mitzvah, and still we're not allowed to violate rabbinic prohibitions for it. Right? The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, over Einu Ladam B'Yom Tov Ela O Ochel V'Shote O Yoshe V'Shone. That according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to decide what you're doing in Yom Tov. You can be celebrating on Yom Tov, or you should be sitting and learning on Yom Tov, one or the other. Rabbi Shua Omer Chelkeo Achila Shtiya Chetzi Beit Midrash. And Rabbi Yeshua, however, says that no, you should split your time in half. Half of it should be for eating and drinking. Half of it should be learning, or perhaps davening. Right? That's where the minhag and maybe even the mitzvah of learning 6 hours on Shabbat and Yom Tov comes from, as we're going to see. You know, if you divide your waking hours in half, you know, let's say 18 waking hours, roughly speaking, then, you know, 9 you should be eating, drinking, enjoying yourself. 9 you should be learning Torah or davening. So whatever you don't have from tefillah, let's say tefillah, you know, would last anywhere between 2 to 4 hours throughout the entire Shabbat. The rest of the time you should be learning. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Vishneim Mikrecha Darshu. And they actually both learned from one pasuk. They're both their different shitas. Ketuv Echad Omer Atzeret Lashem Elokecha. One pasuk says that Atzeret is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ketuv Echad Omer Atzeret Yelechem. And one pasuk says that Atzeret is yours. That Shavuot is your holiday. Rabbi Elazar Savar Oku Lashem Oku Lechem. So Rabbi Yossi says clearly we have an option. It's either entirely for you, entirely for God. Rabbi Yeshua Savar Chelkeu Chetzio Lashem Vechetzio Lechem. Rather divided in half. Half of it should be for you, and half of it should be for God. Amar Rabbi Elazar, akol modim batzeret bina nami lachem. Right? So according to Rabbi Elazar, actually everyone agrees that when it comes to atzeret, you need the chetzi lachem v'chetzi lashem component. Right? You also need to have some celebration. My time, Why? What's the reason? Yom Shani Mabot Torahu? Because it's the day the Torah was given, and we should, you need to celebrate that. Amar Rava Kol Modim Shabbat to be in an Amelchem. Rava says on Shabbat everyone agrees that there's also a Lechem component. It's by the other Chagim that we have a disagreement. My time, why? Vekarat Shabbat Oneg, right? As says that in Yishayahu that Shabbat is called Oneg, so you must celebrate it a little bit. Rabbi Yosef Kol Modim Purim to be in an Amelchem. Everyone agrees that on Purim you need to have a celebratory. There needs to be some celebratory components. My time, Yimei Mishnah V'Simcha K'tiv Bei, because by Purim it says there are days of Mishnah V'Simcha, feasts and celebration. Mar Brei Ravina Kula Shata Hava Yati B'Tani Ta Levar Me Atzarta Upuraya Mal Yom Kippur. Right, so Ravina, Mar Bar Ravina would fast all year long, except for. Erev Yom Kippur and Purim and Atzeret, and of course you can't fast on Shabbat. Yom Atzeret Yom Shnei Mevatora. The reason he couldn't fast on Shavuot is because the day the Torah was given. Puria on Purim you may Mishnah V'Simcha K'tiv Bei. So it says Mishnah V'Simcha, so he has to have a feast. Mal Yom Kippur and Erev Yom Kippur he wouldn't fast. Netani Chiyah Bar Rav Medivti Ketzchiyah Bar Rav Medivti Tadas Falos V'Nitim Benav Shudchem B'Tishul Chodesh. You have to be me'ane yourselves on the 9th of the month. You have to afflict yourselves on the 9th of the month. Isn't it on the 10th that we are mit'ane? That's odd. Yom Kippur is on the 10th. Rather, so that anyone who eats and drinks on the 9th properly is like he afflicted himself for both the 9th and the 10th, right? He properly prepared himself for Yom Kippur, so it's like he's afflicted on the 9th and on the 10th, right? And so for these reasons, he would never fast on those days because he was very careful to eat. Rav Nevensal actually points out that that these 4 days, Shabbat, Shavuot, Yom Kippur, and Purim have something in common, which is Kabbalat Torah, which is the original Svara that we gave, right? Because Shavuot is Kabbalat Torah, and Yom Kippur is when we got the Luchot Shniot, the ones we kept, and Purim is when we had our Kabbalah of Torah Shabbal Peh, of Hadar Kibluha, and then Shabbat was the day of the week that we got the Torah. And that's why it needs to be a cause for celebration. Rav Yosef B'Yomidah Tzarta Amar, Rav Yosef would say the following every Shavuot. Avdli Igla Tilta, prepare for me a third-born calf, which is apparently the best of them. Amar, and he said, why? I lo have yoma deka garim, kama Yosef ikumashuka. Right? If it wasn't for this day, you know, how many other, you know, random people named Yosef are walking around the market? Meaning, what makes me unique and not like every other average Joe, which is, you know, interesting that it's Joe. It's not like every other average Joe is that I have Torah, and that's because we got Torah on this day, so I need to celebrate this day properly. Rav Sheshet Kol Tlatin Yomin Mahader Le Talmudei. Rav Sheshet would do Chazara on his learning every 3 days. V'tale Kai V'Ivra D'Dasha V'Amar. And then he would lean on the doorpost and he would say as follows. Chadai Navshai, Chadai Navshi, Lach Krai, Lach Tanai. I'm so rejoiceful, because I read and I studied. I mean, I learned Torah and Mishnah. Aini, is that really true? Va'ama Rabbi Eliezer, Ilema, Torah lo nitkaima, Shemayim va'aretz. Shenema, Arim lo v'riti, Yom ha'malai l'chukot Shemayim va'aretz lo samti. Meaning, is it really true that learning Torah is, as implied here, only beneficial for the people who learned it and studied it? As he was saying, you know, I'm rejoicing because I learned Torah, because I learned. But what we're saying here is that Torah actually benefits the entire world, not just the people who study it. As we know from the Pasuk, that if it weren't for the Torah being studied day and night, then the world would cease to exist. Mikara ki avid inish, adate denavshi ka avid. Yeah, Inachinami does still help the entire world, but generally when someone's beginning in the endeavor, he's starting off for himself, and then he kind of expands his grand perspective to appreciate that he's doing something significant for the entire world as well. Nonetheless, what we got from that tangent was that Rabbi Yeshua believes that Simchat Yom Tov is a mitzvah. Still, the Simchat Yom Tov is not doche rabbinic prohibitions, in which case Rabbi Yeshua is following his own logic that the Isurei Derabanan are not nidche for Korban Pesach, even though Korban Pesach is a mitzvah de'oraita, and there are Isurei Derabanan standing in your way. We're going to stop here. Actually, we'll just continue for one more minute. Amar of Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, "Ulamai the Kamar Rabbi Eliezer Nami Yom Tov Rishut." And even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that Yom Tov is a Rishut, you can still say as follows: "Eat Le Pircha." Right? You can still say the following to Rabbi Yeshua's opinion: "Umai Yom Tov Sheitir Malacha Shel Rishut." Just like on Yom Tov, where you are allowed to do a malacha that's a reshut, and not for the sake of a mitzvah, lo yitir shvut she'ima, they did not allow you to do an accompanying rabbinic prohibition if that prohibition could have been done before Shabbat, let's say. Shabbat, shelo yitir ba ela malacha shel mitzvah, on Shabbat, where there's no malachas just permitted for reshut, like cooking on Yom Tov, rather only for the sake of a mitzvah, like a certain korbanot, inodin shlotatir shvut yishima. So all the more so, you shouldn't be allowed to violate rabbinic prohibitions that could have been done from before Shabbat. Rabbi Eliezer, shvut de mitzvah adifle. And Rabbi Eliezer would respond to that even though Yom Tov is more makil in the sense that a shvut de reshut is going, that a shvut that, you know, is not a mitzvah, right? A prohibition that is not a prohibition that's not a mitzvah, rather permissive, was allowed on Yom Tov and not on Shabbat, and therefore you would assume that Kal v'chomer, if the Shavut, if the rabbinic prohibition wasn't allowed before Yom Tov, it wouldn't be allowed before Shabbat. However, Rabbi Lezer would say that because on Shabbat we're speaking about whether we can violate a rabbinic prohibition for the sake of a mitzvah, so we have reason to assume that because we're talking about violating for the sake of a mitzvah as opposed to for a reshut, even if the Rabbanan would not have permitted the violation of the rabbinic prohibition on Yom Tov, which is more makil, that was for a reshut purpose. On Shabbat it's for a mitzvah purpose, and so maybe they would permit you to violate the Isra de Rabbanan on Shabbat for the sake of the mitzvah. We'll stop here.